shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along, where the waters cool flow bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along, and some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. And some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season, all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Sing it with us. Oh, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
That great God, great God, hallelujah. Open your Bible to the book of Song of Solomon. The book, Song of Solomon, one of the great unheralded books of our Bible. One of the great unheralded books of our Bible. Very few people understand the beauty of the book of the Songs of Solomon. It is outstanding. I will never forget, some years ago, I did a host of interviews across the country on a big program on TV then that had taken the kids by storm, and I was showing the evil of it. Never will forget it. And I got called by a station in Florida for an interview. Didn't know anything about the man. Found out later he was an atheist, a man who hated Christianity. Just hated it with a passion. Didn't like either the Old Testament or the New, even though he was Jewish. And he just really tried to put me through the fire. He just launched into an attack on the Bible and just everything he could be. And I finally took him to the book of the Song of Solomon. And I said, you need to go read that book. He said, oh, I know all about that book. He had some ugly things to say. And I said, sir, what you don't understand is that is a powerful picture of the bridegroom and his bride. I said, that whole book is written to celebrate the future of the bridegroom and the bride, the saints of God, when that great day of the wedding feast occurs. I've read different books through the years, never read anything that didn't love the book of the Song of Solomon and the beautiful message that it conveys. So let me read a few verses this morning, and we'll preach on the magnificent bridegroom and the glorious bride. Ah, I tell you, I hope those two words will never leave your thoughts and your conscious mind again. Bridegroom and bride. You know, it is so unpreached today that when you try to talk about it, at least on the radio, you got to start with scratch. You got to educate them of any significance of such a thought. The understanding of a bridegroom don't even enter their theology. And a bride of Christ, far removed from the understanding of the average person today, either by radio or television. I want to leave you, if the Lord will help me. I tell you often that my preaching is over my head, and I confess that to you. But I pray that God will help us by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moved Friday night, really moved and put his hand on the preaching. Put his approval on the preaching. Thank God for people who are sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I am come. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 1. Chapter 5, Song of Solomon, verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten the honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye. Drink abundantly, O beloved. O beloved. Now you have to translate that beautiful terminology to biblical theology. For he's talking biblical truth. He's talking the truth about his bride. He even separates two companies. Notice that. Sister and spouse. These are the bride of Christ. And people who are just saved. But not part of the bride of Christ. And you'll find that all through this great text. I will never forget 2 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Ghost moved on me when I was reading and studying this great text. And the Holy Ghost gave me a revelation and understanding. Now, I wouldn't believe in those if they didn't correlate with other great men of God, or other great men of God. I'm certainly not one of them, but great men of God who have taught the truth of the Song of Solomon. Beautiful, beautiful. Listen to verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Now, verse 1 was the bridegroom. Verse 2 begins with the bride. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. It starts now with the bride, but it immediately moves to the language of the bridegroom. Let me read that again. I sleep, said the bride, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and the locks and my locks with the drops of the night. See, this is Calvary. It is a picture of the bridegroom crucified, coming to his bride with the passion of his death, with the passion of his suffering, coming to his bride with what he's paid for her salvation, what he's paid for her forgiveness. So here's a beautiful picture of the bride asleep, but the bridegroom crying out and petitioning and seeking the favor and the love of his bride. I love that. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. He's been to the cross. He's died for us. He's took our price. He's paid the debt. And so he comes in his suffering. He comes in the sense of his loneliness. You must understand, he died alone on that cross. He died alone on that cross. And it's so breathtaking. It's so breathtaking to listen. I have put off my coat, says the bride. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved, and this is a picture of the bride, speaking of her beloved, the bridegroom. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. He doesn't only move upon her and move to embrace her and move to talk to her, but he's on the outside. So he just doesn't hold the doorknob from without. He slips his hand in through the keyhole and takes hold of the door from within. How many times has the Holy Ghost moved upon you from within? Though you were careless and though you were all tied up in fleshly things, suddenly the Holy Ghost, like he stuck his hand in through the hole of your life and took a hold of your heart from the inside and began to pull on you and began to reach for you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's old time conviction, friend. That's the need of this hour, Brother Marlon. You've been declaring that. We need conviction. We need the hand of the Holy Ghost that reaches past the mind, reaches past the hearing, and reaches into the heart and gets a hold of men and women. Oh, Shakri, would you just raise your hand and help me a minute? Hallelujah. 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 My beloved. I got to read that again. My beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I felt that Friday night. I felt my heart just moving for him, Brother Dillon, panting for him, panting for his wonderful ministry, his wonderful visitation. Let me read on. I rose up, she said, to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handle of the lock. That verse needs to be preached because that's the result of Holy Ghost conviction. That's the result when the Spirit of God reaches into the heart of a man or a woman. And that's what some of you really need. You need the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you within. You need him to shake you until you begin to feel the glory of his presence. And you'll notice that in this beautiful experience, myrrh is used. And the smell, the aroma, the beautiful aroma of his presence was sensed and understood. I've been in a few services when the aroma of the Holy Ghost would appear. Have you ever been to church when the aroma of the Holy Ghost would breathe down through the congregation? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Are you helping me? See, you don't really have to read this text. It preaches for itself. And it's breathtaking. Oh, that we would hear, "Our Lord, I rose up to open to my beloved." She says, "But when I took a hold of the door handle on my side within, it dropped with the marrow of his presence." Would you believe God with me for that kind of visitation at Paul Creek? Would you slip your hand up if you'd believe God with me for that kind of visitation in this place? Oh, we live in a day when Pentecost is almost a joke. It's more noise than anything else. It's more the sound of human lips and human feet than it is the sound of heavenly grace and heavenly myrrh and heavenly Holy Ghost. And I'm praying, God, breathe out tomorrow, move us. Somebody help me this morning. I'm telling you, God wants to visit his church. The bridegroom. Now, I want you to get this picture, but I don't preach another lick. The bridegroom from the heavens above, from the right hand of the Father's sacred and holy presence, from that marvelous place called the heavenly temple, from that city of our God on the sides of the north, in the mountains of his holiness, that great God by the Holy Ghost is reaching as the future bridegroom, and he's reaching into the heart of men and women who will be sensitive to him, and he's reaching for our hearts. Oh, he's reaching to me. Russ, my boy, I don't deserve to say the kind of things the Holy Ghost has me saying, but I want you to understand, we live in the day that God wants to give the church a move. He's trying to get the bride ready. Could I scream it out? He's trying to get the bride ready. And we're so caught up in our little selves and our fanciness, our fancy thinking and our emotional attitudes and the things that disturb us and take hold of us that we're not hearing and we're not feeling. But I'm telling you, my soul has been feeling the hand of the Holy One reaching in to try to get a hold of me and to bring me where he can use me for his glory. You got to see this, though. The bridegroom's reaching. The bridegroom is searching. The bridegroom wants his bride ready. You've never seen a bridegroom getting ready for a wedding day that he wasn't anxious for that bride. He was anxious for her appearance. He was anxious for her purity. He was anxious to keep her excited about that marvelous time when she would march down the aisle. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the Holy Ghost of heaven is anxious for the bridegroom and the bride. And he's doing his best to move and to visit and to come with his glory and to get the bride ready. You got to listen now. You got to listen. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. The church world is full of men and women who treat the visitation of the Holy Ghost exactly like that. And then they finally wake up some morning, some day, when death stares them in the face. And they begin to see the troubles are everywhere. And they try to do something quick. And they go running, searching for him. But they can't find him. They can't find him. Why can't they find him? Because when he put his hand in through the door, they were too busy. They'd put off their day clothes and had on their night apparel, and they wasn't about to open the door. They took off their shoes and their feet had been washed, and they're not about to defile their feet. And so they don't have time to go. They don't have time to run to him. They don't have time to get on the altar. They don't have time to stay on their face. They don't have time to live only for the bridegroom. If there's anything I want to do this morning, I want to get us living only for the bridegroom. I want to get us with our eyes set on the heavenly spear. I want us to see him when he's about to come. Hallelujah. Any moment now, you can look up and the glories of the heavens will dazzle you. Woo! When you see him coming in all of his beauty and majesty, when he comes in all the breathtaking power of his right arm, when he comes in the glory of who he is, it'll be the grandest moment you've ever had in your life. Anybody looking for the bridegroom? Oh, I know I've had you standing too long, but let me read these last verses. I opened the door to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul fell when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. This is that crowd of sisters who aren't ready to be part of the spouse. This is that crowd that's not ready for bridesship. This is that crowd who have fallen in love with the world. I don't even know where they're going to go at all or not. Many of them, no, they won't. But maybe some will. I don't know. I'm going to leave that with God. I'm going to leave that with God's preparation. But I want to tell you something. Here is a picture of a multitude of people that heard him. They've saw his glory. They've felt his aroma. They are smelled his aroma. They've felt his presence. They've been near him. They've seen him when he was in glory, making himself real. The whole Pentecostal world today, at least 80-90%, has backslid from what they used to have and what they used to experience. They've turned away from old time holiness and godly living. They think they can have the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and live like the world. And it just isn't so. And here they are. Now they're searching for him. They're trying to find him, but they can't find him. He calls, but there's no answer. Hey, the watchmen that were about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Now I know. Will you be seated? I'm very sorry. But listen to me, just like you were standing, will you? Listen to me. You got to see this picture. You got to see this picture. Here is this great company within the church. Here's this great company who have known in the past the voice of the King of Kings. Here's a great company of people who used to live a godly life, a pure life. They used to know the king was coming. They used to listen for the trumpet to sound. They used to listen for the king to appear. They used to believe at any moment the king was coming. And they was excited. And they would get all happy and shout and praise the Lord. But here they are. They had no time for him when he showed himself. They got too busy with the world. They got too busy with the things of their own life. And so they drifted away from his nearness and his warmth and his holiness. And they finally go searching for him, but what happens to them? The world steals their purity. Notice what it said. I mean, it's just as clear as it can be. They took away my veil. What is the veil? The veil is an expression of separation. It's an expression of your uniqueness. It is an expression that you're not just an average woman walking the street. You happen to be a pure woman, a godly woman, and you don't expose your nakedness. You don't expose your dress attire as though you were a harlot. Oh, no, 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 no. The veil has been taken away. Now, you listen to me. The church world is living a day when the veil has been stolen. I don't think you're hearing me this morning, and I'm not sure. Listen to me. The world is stealing the veil of the church. How many of you know people that the world has stolen their veil? Stolen their covering? Stolen their separation? Every kind of thing you can imagine has taken hold of the church life. Every kind of thing you can imagine. There's bitterness everywhere I turn. There's people that just resent you. And they carry grudges at you. And they'll hate you for years on end. And literally feel you're the problem. I don't know how to deal with it. I just know I got to keep myself under the grace of God. So the veil is ever on my face. So that I'm ever separated and godly. Hey, you got to help me preach. How many will raise their hand and say, I want to be part of the bride? Would you slip your hand way up high? How badly do you want to be a part of the bride? How badly do you want to be a set apart life, living a godly and pure and holy life, waiting and watching and looking? He could come in the next split second. Where would you be? Go get your veil again. Go back to that place of separation. Go back to these altars. I sent out a text last night. I don't know that I got it to everybody, but I said the Holy Ghost is calling. I was sitting here at the church and he was moving with fire upon my soul, and he's calling. I want you to know he's calling. The Holy Ghost is calling. Not just this church, but wherever there are godly men and godly women, the Holy Ghost is calling. Brother Joey talks about it. Brother Gans talks about it. Brother Pepper talks about it. Other preachers are talking about it. The King is about to come. I'm here to tell you, if we get past the end of this year, it will probably be a miracle before the rapture takes place and we're gone out of here. Never have I seen wickedness so cocky and haughty. That crowd of godless people out there, they're not just godless anymore. They are haughty about their godliness. They would eliminate every holiness Christian in America if they could get a law passed that gave them freedom to do so. They don't want you in their world. They don't want you preaching on their radios. They don't want you preaching in your congregation. They even want you. Brother Joey sent me he called me this weekend. He said, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm at the jail." He said, "What'd you do?" He's texting now. I text him right back. I said, "I prayed in public." He didn't even get the message. I was trying to say they put me in jail because I prayed in public. That day's coming. That day is coming to America if Jesus tarries. Are you conscious of it? How many of you will pray anyway? How many of you will stand up in the face of them? I went in a business this week. There's a man there that's really, really so desperate for God. And I went in and told him. The next morning my phone rang. He said, "I'm grandma to forbid you to ever come in this place of business again. You embarrass me. You really embarrass me." I said, "Well, listen, I'm sorry. I won't ever bother you again. You can write it down in your little book. This preacher is through with you." I didn't quit praying for him because I really do care about his soul. But he was ferocious. That's never happened to me before in my life, Brother Danny, that I would go into business and witness to somebody. I don't know whether anybody else heard me. I don't know whether anybody else even paid me attention. I don't know. I just went because this man is on my heart. And I witnessed to him 3 or 4 times. And I had no idea he was going to blow up. But he was one mad fella. I said, "You don't have to worry. I won't be back in your place. I won't bother you no more, friend. I promise you, please forgive me." Did you have to ask him to forgive you? Well, I forgave him. I want him to forgive me for you know, him getting angry with me. I didn't do anything wrong. But I'm here to tell you, that's the day we live in. How many know that's the day we live in? Hallelujah. And here we have the picture of the church, the bride. And the bride has become embarrassed because of him. The bride has become embarrassed of him. How much of the church world never preaches a sermon on the bridegroom and the bride? How many of you have ever heard anybody preach on the bridegroom and the bride? But Brother Chambers, let me see your hand. Let me see how many hands. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4. I see 5 or 6 hands. But most of you have never heard it, have you? The bridegroom. Oh, let me. I want so much to preach, and I got dozens of scriptures and all kinds of things, and I got to figure out here how to get past this. Let's talk a minute about the bridegroom. Does anybody in here know who the bridegroom is? Raise your hand. I want you to call his name out loud. Come on, everybody. Jesus Christ. Now, he isn't the bridegroom yet, but he's soon to be. Do you know what John the Baptist said as he was baptizing? He said, "The friend of the bridegroom hears his voice." But he has the bride, not me. They were trying to lift up John because he was such a great prophet. And they were trying to elevate him. And they were clarifying that whole thing. They were clarifying that whole thing. Or John was. He said, "Oh no, I'm not the bride. I'm not the bridegroom. But I'm a friend to the bridegroom, and I'm hearing his voice, and I'm excited about it." You see, the bridegroom is Jesus. He will soon come to receive his bride. This is the grandest moment of church history. There is no moment of church history that compares when the bridegroom steps out on the shores of heaven and calls out to his bride and that great company of the set apart, the godly, the holy, the righteous. Hallelujah. We ascend to meet him in the sky, and the bridegroom will receive his bride. Hallelujah. So the bridegroom is Jesus. What are some things about this bridegroom? I got to praying this morning and went right quick and wrote down some things to try to say. He's faithful. The bridegroom is totally faithful. He knows every person who will be part of his bride. And he is ministering to them. He is reaching to them. If they become careless, as we see in this text, then he comes and knocks on their door and even reaches his hand through the hole of the door and takes a hold of their heart and moves them and tries to stir them and try to bring them back. He's faithful. I said he's faithful. He's reaching for his bride. He wants to love on his bride. He wants to get you ready to come to be with him forever. Oh, the bridegroom is faithful. Oh, then he's merciful. He's merciful. You've been careless. You've lost your veil. You've got careless in your lifestyle. You're unfaithful about the things of God. He's merciful this morning. He's reaching to you. I said he's reaching to you. He's trying to draw you back. He's trying to pull you back in the realm of his blessedness. He's trying to get you ready. The smell and the aroma of his presence is overwhelming. And you've had experiences where you heard the call of God. That's because he's merciful. If you ever lose your readiness for the brideship, I promise you the bridegroom will be knocking on your door. But he will only knock so long. He will only knock so many times. And then he withdraws himself. You see that? You see this text? You ought to read this text every day all week. You really ought to. It's really overwhelming. It has truth in it that most people don't want to hear. But he's moving. He's merciful. He will forgive you. He has forgiven me. There's been a few times that I know I must have marred my bridesmaid. There's been a few times I know I must have made him sad with me. Has he ever been sad with you? But I promise you, there's never before. I remember one time was in the car. We was coming from Burlington. My family was in the car. And I'd been careless about something. I hadn't even sinned. I'd been tempted to sin. And I'd played with it. See, when you play with temptation, it's the next thing to being guilty. So I was the next thing to being guilty. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. And I'll never forget in that automobile, I reached over and got Mama's hand. And I the kids was in the back seat, if I remember right, it's some years ago. And God helped me to repent that I'd even allowed temptation to come at my heart. And immediately, Brother Charles, I was restored to my brideship. Woo! Somebody, anybody here ever had to do that? Let me see your hand so I won't be by myself up here. You've had to repent. You've had to get it right. You've had to get yourself back where you ought to be. You've had to get your veil back on. You had to get your separation back in right position. Oh, hallelujah. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It was a glorious moment. And I just thank God. I just thank God for those times. But may I tell you, that wasn't the only one. I'm not trying to act like a fuzzy-duzzy. I'm not trying to act holier than thou. I've been through the same valleys you've been through. I've fought the same battles you fought. But thank God this morning I got my brideship ready. Hallelujah. My duties are at the point of being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Any moment now, the bridegroom is coming and I'm a-leaving. Hallelujah. What a day. Oh, not only is he faithful, but his words are perfect. Everything he has said in this book is perfect. You say, Brother Chambers, those scriptures you read this morning, are you sure that they apply to what you're saying they apply to? Well, you study them, and you find a different interpretation. It ain't possible. The only thing close is the love of a man for his wife. All my 62 years and 91 days with Sister Chambers has been 62 years and 91 days of being faithful to her as her bridegroom. Listen to me, sir. You be faithful to that woman that God put in your life. Because the Bible says, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. A marriage of any man and woman must be built on the story of this bridegroom and this bride. This is the heart of your marriage. This is the foundation of your marriage. This is the root and foundation of your life under Christ. You live by these rules. You live by these divine ordinances. You live by God's divine word. I promise you, hallelujah, you'll stay ready to be part of his bride. Oh, somebody's got to help me this morning. Anybody feel what I'm feeling? His Holy Ghost is so real to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the bridegroom is faithful. The bridegroom is merciful. And the bridegroom speaks every word perfectly. You can't deny one word in that Bible. If you deny one word in that Bible, or you try to add to it, the Bible says that he will take away your name out of the book of life. So don't play no games. He is absolutely in preparation for his bride. I'm trying to talk about the bridegroom here a minute. Right now, anybody know where the bridegroom is? He's sitting beside the Father. He's up there telling the Father every good thing he can tell him about you. He's up there telling the Father any burden you got, anything you're carrying, he's your intercessor, and he's doing it day and night. In fact, there is no night there. And so he's doing it 24/7, if you can say such a thing with heaven. I'm here to tell you, he's everything you need, and he's getting heaven ready. He's already got the angels charged with their duties. I believe they're already setting the tables. I believe they're getting ready for the wedding ceremony when the bridegroom and the bride will become one for eternity. Eternity. Woo! Somebody say woo for me. Hallelujah. The bridegroom is getting everything ready. The bridegroom is getting everything ready. And the bridegroom is reaching for you and reaching for your heart. The bridegroom, hallelujah, is humiliated in his death for his bride. I want to tell you something. When he was hanging on that cross, spikes driven into his hands and his feet. He looked out over that crowd of abusers, haters, vicious people. And he said, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know why he said that? Because what he was doing was not the business of the Roman soldiers or the Jewish leaders. It was the business of the Father. He said, you don't even know you're crucifying the Son of God. You don't even know that the blood you are drawing from my veins will be the same blood that will wash millions of souls of their sins and their degradation. What you don't know is my death will bring forth life. And when I rise from that dead 3 days later, I will rise with a life in me that I will shed and spread to every man and woman who will trust me and believe me. You don't know what you're doing, guys. So, Lord, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Oh, you thought he was just forgiving them because of their evil. No, he was forgiving them because what was happening was for you. It was the bridegroom getting things ready for the bride. He was purchasing the garments of righteousness that we are going to wear when we stand before him at that wedding ceremony. Did you hear what I said? He was purchasing the white garments of righteousness that we will wear when we stand before him at that wedding celebration. When your white garments isn't something because you live clean. Your living clean is good, but your white garments for the wedding is his garments that he made. And it was at the hallelujah, that he provided for you. I got so much else to say here. I guess my time may be gone. Listen to me, church. We're living on the verge of his appearance. Oh, hallelujah. His sacrifice. Gave his life. The horrible wounds he suffered. Have you ever thought recently? These things I wrote down, I hadn't had the time to think my way through them. The bride. Well, how do we describe the bride? Her love for the bridegroom. Her love for the bridegroom. I remember through my life as a Christian, I've had times when it would diminish and become less. Then I've had times when it would expand and take over. And that's always been my love for Jesus. He's my bridegroom. I'm getting ready to be united with him. Have the right name written upon the brow of my forehead. And have a relationship with him that will be absolutely unique for he and I alone. I'm getting ready to be with him for eternity. I'm getting ready to look on that marred and abused body and say, thank you, Lord, for saving Joseph Chambers. I would have been in hell today, but thou hast suffered for me and saved me. Listen to me, church. I'm part of the bride. If you are part of that bride, stand up right quick and raise your hands and praise him with all your heart. Lord, I'm part of that bride. I'm part of that holy company. I don't want sin in my life. I don't want nothing on my tabs. I want to be holy. Rush, not to Rama. Woo! Great. Woo! I feel his glory, brother. Woo! I don't know how to deal with it, brother. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand and just love him and praise him. You're part of the bride. You're part of the bride, Dixie. It was only 6 months ago when you were not part of that bride. Remember? I'm not putting you down. I'm just thanking God. How about you? How many of you are part of the bride this morning? But a year ago, 2 years ago, you were not. Hallelujah. I belong to him. I'm part of the bride. I don't belong to this world. I want to ask you something. Does your checkbook show that the bridegroom is more important to you than new cars and new things? Brother Chambers, you're meddling. Yeah. If you're part of that bride, everything about your life will show your surrender to him. There's no place for carelessness. Oh, Christ, how much I love you. Oh, Jesus, how much I love you. Let me tell you something. And let me tell you something, church, if I can get it out. If I didn't love him, I couldn't endure the loss of my Juanita. I loved her so much that I haven't wanted to live another day since she went to heaven ahead of me. But every time I think of that and I think of Jesus, I say, Lord, I'll stay right here and do everything you bid me do until that glorious day. Hallelujah. So I'm living for Jesus. If you're living for him alone, raise your hand. Yes, you ought to love everything about your life. Yes, you ought to be faithful. But we're living for Jesus, Brother Rodriguez. We're living only for him and for his honor and for his glory. Oh, the bride is a special group of people. I wish I could get the church world to see what the bride is. Oh, it's such a careless thing. No wonder the preachers don't preach on it. They'd lose 3/4 of their congregation. Is that right? They wouldn't be able to handle this unless they got saved. The bride. Oh, I got so many things I want to say about the bride. Oh, man, forgive me, please. I haven't want out the scriptures yet. Hallelujah. The bride. Her love for everything and anyone is part of her brideship. I don't care who he is. He may be the worst person you've ever met, but you'll either treat him honorably or you won't be there on this blessed day. Are you hearing me? Very important. Absolute dedication to be holy. Absolutely dedication. I don't want my mind full of nothing but holiness. I found the last days my brain will try to go off in some area about something that burdens me, and I just say, God, I put that thing on the altar to you. I reckon myself dead to it. I reckon myself alive to nothing but the purity of God's holiness. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Redeemer. Oh, what a mighty Lord. On and on. So many things I got to say here. We despise this ungodly world. Do you love this world? He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I mean, would you repeat that with me? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But for if any man love the world, are you with me? The love of the Father is not in him. Despise this old ungodly world, willing to pour themselves into the kingdom. I tell you what, my bridegroom's coming. When he comes and I go, I'm not going to have to say goodbye to this world. It's going to be so long, world. I've been anxious to leave you. I've been anxious to get out of here. I've been anxious to go up there with him. I'm hungry for him, Brother Charles. I'm hungry for him, Sister Beth. I'm hungry for him over there, Sister Dixie. I'm hungry for him, Brother Dylan. I'm hungry for him, Brother Carlos. Listen, nothing else is worth your time. The bridegroom. Let's try now as I close. Let's look up toward heaven. Could he be sitting right on the threshold waiting for the Father to say, go, son, go? You reckon maybe he's been saying to the Father, Father, is it time? Father, wouldn't today be a good day for me to go? I don't know. I presume he don't talk to the Father like that. I don't really know. All I know is he's coming and the bride's leaving. The bride's leaving. I said the bride's leaving. What a day that's going to be. Now go with me to the book of Ephesians. And it says, love your wife even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might cleanse it and sanctify it, that it might be holy. For he's coming out to the church without spot, a blemish, a wrinkle, or any such thing. He's coming after a bride without spot, a wrinkle, a blemish. What would a blemish be? I guess if I was ugly to you, it'd be a blemish. If I treated somebody of a different color as though they are less wonderful to me than a person of my color. The Bible says if you have respect to persons, you commit sin.
That's right.
You can't respect people in your church. You can't say, well, I want him or her to do this and thus because I like them better than somebody else. No, we don't do things like that. We treat everybody equal. We treat everybody respectable. That's what it's supposed to be. And if we be otherwise, we'll answer to God. How many are ready to go with the bride? To be with the bridegroom. Can you imagine? Father, raise your hand with me, would you? Father. Sitaron mochothi siva. Sweet Holy Ghost, your presence this morning has been rich to me. And I weep that every one of us will be poured out to be part of the bride. I pray that in the days to come, our pocketbook, our dress attire, our conversation, the places we go, and everything about us will bespeak of our readiness for brideship. Are you listening to me? Everything, everything, your time, everything, it belongs to the bride. I'm sorry, the bridegroom, and you're being part of that bride. Father, have your way now. Have your way. Come sing for me, brother, sister Gans. I've asked them for a special song this morning. I want them to come and bless you with it. I want them to come and bless you. And I want you to stand right there for a few moments. And I want you to think about your readiness to be part of the bride. I want you to think, do I love the bridegroom like a member of the bride should love the bridegroom? Am I sold out to Him in such a manner that I can say to the world, I'm not living for you. I'm living for Him. He's coming. Bless us by song in the name of the Lord. That Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes,
listen,
Lord, yes.
Hallelujah.
I will trust you and obey.
Sing it out.
When your spirit speaks to me.
Now, if he's talking to anybody, get up and come quickly to this altar. I'm coming to devote myself to the bridesmaid of Jesus Christ.
Lord, yes.
Just start coming as the Holy Ghost speaks to you.
I'll say yes.
Lord, Brother Chambers is coming.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want nothing but the bridesmaid. I want nothing but to meet the bridegroom with a hello. Hallelujah. 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 Come visit us. Be at home. Please be at home. Visit us. Hallelujah. I want to be part of that bride. I want to be part of that bride. I want to be part of that bride. Come, dear lady. You're welcome in this altar. You're welcome in this altar. Keep on singing. Sing it out. Sing it out. Hallelujah.
To your will and to your way. Eternity's day, God leads His dear children along. Sing it with us. Oh, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Oh, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.